question that I've heard many organizations, including those down near Houston, Texas, and other places that seems to get out and around, that we're facing doomsday. We're facing doomsday. What's coming? Horrible events are yet to take place. Some of these men are standing up and saying. Now, what's interesting about it, they describe a lot of things that's going to be happening for our future. And I remember my wife and I, when we were in the Sacramento church years and years ago now, about 50 years ago, that is, we were directing and helping to pastor those churches there. And one of the hydrogen bombs was set off, and I believe it was 1961, and they said that that bomb, when it was set off, was so powerful that it actually began to split continuously the atoms in the atmosphere. Everything was beginning just to fall apart, and they said it would have destroyed eventually everything if somebody hadn't stopped the splitting of the atoms that it chained within that explosion that went off. So I think you know as well as I do that God didn't permit it to go any further than it was going. So mankind could actually literally set up a detonation that could possibly destroy everything on the face of the earth if God didn't stop it. And God is not yet ready for that to happen. But in the future, you are going to see something of that nature, even far more powerful than we can even understand and see now. So the hydrogen bomb is nothing in comparison to what is going to be happening in the years ahead. And we need to take a look at that. And the first thing that I want to discuss with you and along with this is the fact that there's going to be a lake of fire. Now, we know that the hydrogen bomb, you could see the fire, and in fact, they could feel it about 50 miles away. They could feel the concussion, and in fact, even had things set up that it would just blow all these things to pieces and blow them over, too, if they were huge blocks of concrete and things of that nature. And so it's a very powerful thing that's going to be happening in the future. And so we have to take a look then at why do we have the lake of fire described in the Bible. What is the purpose of the lake of fire? What is the purpose of the lake of fire, and what will it destroy? What will the lake of fire destroy? Let's go first of all to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Most of us have read this and have known it for years too as well, having been in the church for many, many years, some of you have. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, and beginning in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And of course, that's referring to Jesus Christ and the saints, because they're coming to this earth to accomplish something. And it goes on to say in verse 20 that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, why were they cast into this lake of fire burning with brimstone? I think all of us know at least part of the reason. Would you like to see maybe a little more concerning this? I'm sure all of us would love to. In Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation, the 20th chapter, and beginning in verse 4, Revelation 20 and verse 4, says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Christ returns to the earth with all of the saints, and it's talking about what's going to be happening. Thrones, and they that sat upon them, that judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, and neither his image, and neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So now we're beginning to see a story here of us being with God and Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. In other words, there's a message here for us to glean from and to understand for our future. Notice in verse 5, it said, but the rest of the dead live not again after until the 1,000 years were finished. So long before the beginning of the 1,000 years, we know that all of the saints will be resurrected and will be trained and tutored for reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection that is referred to for those who are going to be ruling with Jesus Christ. And blessed is holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. No power. Second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, after the 1,000 years is over, as it goes on to say, when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Well, that tells you there's a lot of people. No one's ever counted all the grains of the sand of the sea yet that I know of. They can postulate, maybe a little bit, but a lot of people. And they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And notice it was called the camp of the saints. And it says, fire will come down from God out of heaven and devour them. In other words, kill them. So another point of where fire was mentioned, and I think we can understand that if we look back, we can see Sodom and Gomorrah had that same thing happen to them, and it was an example of what was going to happen in the future for those who were wicked, for those who would not change, for those who would not build the kind of character needed for becoming a saint in the first resurrection. And so therefore many of them have died. And you ask yourself the question, you know, well, how in the world can we see those people again? Because they haven't been yet cast into the lake of fire that's referred to in the book of Revelation. So those people are going to be resurrected in the future. And there's a reason why I'm saying that. But it goes on to say here, when the fire comes down, it says in verse 10 that the devil, Satan, that had deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now that's an interesting point because of the fact that can fire hurt the devil? If he's spirit, can that fire hurt the devil? So many times we've thought in times past of the ones who are going to be tortured and tormented forever and ever and ever would be Satan and his demons, to be tortured in a lake of fire. How could they be tortured if they're spirit? What kind of fire are we talking about then? And I'll lead up to that as we go on here. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which the beast and the false prophet were cast. Actually, the word are there is italicized. Were cast and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And of course, our minds go in a direction of asking ourselves the question, why are they tormented day and night forever and ever? Is it because they were tormented as they were being cast into it, knowing that they can't live anymore? That is a torment, and it's forever and ever. That's a question that you can ask. And so, as time went on here, notice that in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Now that's referring to all peoples who've ever lived who were not in the first resurrection. Will be in the latter one. So see, if he gave up the dead, they were in it, it says. Now, we could say then that there were some back in Noah's time that we could say that were in the sea, because God had destroyed the first world of Noah's time with water. So all of those people did die. And the reason God killed them at that particular time was the fact that it says in Genesis the 6th chapter that they had destroyed God's way on the face of the whole earth. So that's why God destroyed them. We are now, brethren, getting closer to the time that people are destroying God's way on this earth today. So what's God going to do eventually as time goes on? He's going to use fire to purify it. The earth, to purify the earth. I think some of you who may have had some connections, maybe you've been a farmer in times past or rancher or whatever, but I remember myself even as a little boy working with my brother. I claim that he took his rock and struck it on my match, and that's why the patch caught on fire. That was the kind of a thing we went round and round with at that time. And they were able to put the fire out in the patch, but most of it burned, actually, in this pasture. And someone made the statement, don't you realize that the fire was purifying this ground and all that it burned, and we can use the ashes to grow better crops. Fire purifies. It takes care of certain problems along the way. It comes up. And we say, well, how does that deal with the spirit world, though? How does that deal with the spirit? How does fire deal with the spirit world? We'll see as time goes on here. They gave up the dead that were in it. The dead in hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, people die once, but could die a second time, if they don't change. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But we know, and we can see that earlier, where it talks about verses 4 and 5, that all of the saints are resurrected to live forever and are not affected by the second death. Once you have become a saint, and are working and becoming a saint, with the very Spirit of God, you will not ever face the second death. So it's very important to understand what conversion is all about and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. Very important to understand these things because God has a plan He's working out for all of us. And we know that God is always fair. God is always fair in what He's doing. In fact, if you go back and read the whole story with Abraham walking along and talking with Jesus Christ about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, well, what if there be some people there that are like you and me? In other words, have God's Spirit, or at least we're working in the direction of being a part of God's family. And Jesus said, I won't even destroy it if 50. And it goes down to 10. God said He wouldn't even destroy it if there were 10. So therefore, He does have us in mind for the future, as far as the lake of fire that's going to be coming. We have to understand that and realize that too as well. Let's go back to John the 5th chapter now. John the 5th chapter. And let's see what Jesus said to His disciples at that time. John the 5th chapter and beginning in verse 28. John 5 and beginning in verse 28. He says, marvel not at this. I'll read verse 27 because the Father has given authority to execute judgment, and also because He's the Son of Man, the title. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Now notice what He goes on to say. And shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Resurrection of damnation. And so again, our thought has been that, well, what about that? Is God unfair? No, God is totally fair. And there's a reason why God is doing what He's doing. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter. And most of you know this by heart. Romans 6 and verse 23. Excuse me. Romans 6 and verse 23. He says, for the wages of punishment of sin is alive somewhere, burning? No, it's death. Death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, are the wages, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So you have death, and then you have life through Jesus Christ. And some have thought that, well, what about the spirit beings? What about the spirit beings who sinned? Spirit beings who sinned. And I'm talking about Satan and a third of the other angels, which are referred to as demons now because they fell. And they followed Satan. His tail drew them. His influence drew them, just like His influence around the world today is drawing many people in that direction. And there are some, of course, that God is calling to become part of His family, of the group that is going to be given eternal life and to rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So you have those two different groups. And you have the lake of fire that God is going to deal with as time goes on. So then we can ask ourselves the question then, why the lake of fire? Why does God use fire? And what kind of fire is it that He uses for the future? Well, again, referring back to Genesis 6, that God destroyed those who destroyed His way. Those who are deliberately destroying his way, meaning they've got a bad spirit. They're gone the other direction. So we're getting closer and closer to completely destroying God's way on earth today. And God is holding off because of the saints that he is yet working with and calling to be a part of his family. So why does he choose the lake of fire? And I'll answer that at the end of the sermon. It's very important to understand that. Because not only is this lake of fire going to destroy the face of the earth, but more than that, it's going to destroy the heavens as well. There are heavens, you see, around this earth that have become polluted too as well. So again, sometimes we look at it, well, that's just physical. That's just physical. As far as burning things up on the face of the earth and even the heavens above us as well, with where there's waters above the waters, as it says back in Genesis, the first chapter. Well, the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were passed, of course, and that means then that there's a reconciliation coming of those at that time, and even working with many at that time too, that God will still be working with to call to be a part of his family too as well. So we have to look at it that way. So all of us are going to be involved. All of us are going to be involved for this at the time. And it again, as I said before, is God fair. And again, you can go back and read Genesis 18, verse 23 through 32, with Abraham's talking with God at that time, and God answered him. Okay, now, as we noticed already in reading in the book of Revelation, that the first and the last resurrection happens towards the time of the end. So God is fulfilling things as we get closer to the time of the end. And all of those since Adam's time who were part of the family of God will be resurrected to eternal life. The rest of the dead will be resurrected to be judged. Will we have the right attitude and mind for judging just like God does? We've got to have the mind of God and Jesus Christ as we read and study all of these things. Go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and this is one that we need to really be thinking and praying about to understand more perfectly. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and beginning in verse 41. Matthew 25, and beginning in verse 41. Notice what it says here in Matthew 25. I will get to it in a minute here if I can. I have to get my glasses on. Maybe I can see a little better here. But he talks about the fact that then shall he say to them on his left hand. So Jesus is talking to his disciples here. Depart from me, you cursed. You cursed. Into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. So you got a twofold thing here. You cursed. And the devil and his angels. So it's a combination of things. And they ask him, well, why is that? And he mentions in verses 42 through 45, it says, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. Of those who were involved the other direction, away from eternal life. And you can read the rest of that. But verse 45 says, then shall he answer to them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And it was referred to back in Matthew 25, verse 31, when it said, the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So it's talking about a particular time. And he says in verse 46, these, the goats, sheep from the goats, as God did advise them in verse 32, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. So again, it's differentiating between the two and showing as time goes on here how it's going to come about. And you can find that in Jude 2 as well. But here we find that when you burn something, how do you burn it? I know that whenever someone was telling me that they heated up a fire so hot that when they stuck a piece of metal in it, it almost melted the metal of steel. And when they had it in that condition, then they just took a big ball peen hammer and smashed it and made a knife out of it. So they had mollified it with fire to be able to make a knife out of it. And all of us, you see, are being mollified now through the Spirit of God, which is very, very important for us to understand and to know how we can be ready for our time and for what we're going to do in the future. So this is, in verse 25, is an everlasting fire. Verse 41, pardon me, is an everlasting fire. Depart from me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Not only is it prepared for the devil and his angels, as I said, it's for all of those whose spirit is warped and is not right, as we'll say from other scriptures as we go along. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17. And beginning in verse 28. Luke 17. And beginning in verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink, and they bought, and they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, in the future, we're going to see the same thing that's going to be happening in the future. And verse 30 says, even this shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day when he which shall be on the housetop and stuff in his house, let him not come down, and so on, as we've read that many times. And verse 34, I tell you that in that night there shall be two men, one in bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, this one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. And then they answered and said to him, where, Lord? And he said to them, wherever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Meaning, those of us who are striving to be righteous and striving to live like God says to live will join him. Will join him and be with him. So that's why God says that we are to be praying and asking God to help us to see and to understand what we're going to be facing for the future. And it's going to be the kind of thing that we go through, the fiery trials, if I can put it this way, that we go through, is going to build our minds for facing this time that the lake of fire is going to be used in the future. So we find in, let's go to Revelation, well, first of all, Jude, the first chapter. Jude, the first chapter before you get to the book of Revelation. Jude, the first chapter, the only chapter. Jude 1 and beginning in verse 6. Notice what it says. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So here we find that these angels are mentioned here in Jude. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. How did they suffer? They died. They were gone. Now, again, recognizing the difference between the future and the resurrection that we'll be facing for those who never had an opportunity and chance, as we always discuss, for the last great day of the feast, the eighth day of the feast, that they will have their chance in the future of building the character that we're having right now and become a part of the very family of God. Now, Revelation 1 and verse 18. Revelation 1 and verse 18. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. This is the one who is Jesus Christ. And he has a sharp two-edged sword. And it says, Amen. I'm alive forevermore. And have the keys of Gehenna, of hell, and of death. I've got the keys of hell and death. So there again, if we're going to join our elder brother Jesus Christ and work with him as future kings and priests, we too are going to be involved with this. So write the things which you've seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. So it's talking about things that's yet to come. And I'd like to read something in Genesis 3 now, in verse 15. Genesis 3, which I've read to you before. But Genesis 3 and verse 15. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, we've always said, well, the woman is a type of the church too. And between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise your head. And you shall bruise his heel, referring to Satan. In John, the 13th chapter, Jesus explicitly stated that this day when Satan was involved at that point, because he was alerted to the fact that he was going to be taken to be crucified at that point, he says, this day is this fulfilled in your sight, in your presence, where Satan bruised Jesus' feet. And he died as a result of that. But notice what it goes on to say. It says here that, and you shall bruise his head. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, meaning that also that was going to happen too. And you will find that in Romans, that this is also Romans 16 and verse 20, which I won't turn to, you will find that the Apostle Paul said that Jesus and you will be bruising Satan's head shortly. He'll be bruising his head shortly. So we will be involved. We will be involved. Those who are saints and ruling with Jesus Christ will be involved in taking care of Satan. And again, let's go to John 8 to clarify. John, the 8th chapter. Again, we find here that it's described what Satan is like and what he did. John 8, and let's see what he did. John 8, chapter. And notice it says in verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." Again, giving a distinction there. "For I proceeded forth and came forth from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me." The Father sent him. "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Because you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do," or you will to do. "He was a murderer from the beginning." Now that's one of God's Ten Commandments, isn't it? You're not to murder. "And abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and he's father of it." And as I've already read in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. So he was the sinner from the beginning. He fell shortly after the time that he was with the ark, or that is, the throne of God, in over the coals of fire, and was cast out. Tried to ascend to become greater than God. So we need to understand that even Peter talked a little bit about what was coming too in 2 Peter 3. This is important too as well. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter, the third chapter, and beginning in verse 5. And it says, well, I'll read the verse before that too as well. It's saying this, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" There's going to be a lot of people in the latter days who are going to say that, as verse 3 says. "Where is the promise that is coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." So God killed everyone on the face of the earth at that time. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Of ungodly men. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So, to God, it's not like it is with us today, because 1,000 years for us today is a long, long time. To him, it's just like a day. Very, very short. "And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." See, that's the mind of God in Jesus Christ. They don't want any to perish, but that they should all come to repentance. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So seeing then that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct, conversation, and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire. That lake of fire is a whole lot greater than people think. heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. And that's what God wanted, even after He put a new world for everybody to live on after Noah's time. But it too is coming to its end. So wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So where it grows, it says on in verse 18, in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory now and forever. So we have a responsibility to grow and to develop and to learn how to become a king and a priest, as I've said in sermons in times past, too, as well. Now, let's just discuss an angle there, too, as well. Since Satan was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and his tale influenced a third of the angels, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? Let's go to Matthew, the 8th chapter, first of all here. Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew, the 8th chapter, and beginning in verse 28. It says, and when He come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met Him two possessed with demons, or devils, coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with You, Jesus, You Son of God? Are You come hither to torment us before the time? So they knew what was coming. They knew what was coming. Torment us before the time. Let's go to Mark's account, Mark 1. Mark, the first chapter. And notice what was said by Jesus there in Mark, the first chapter. Mark, the first chapter. And start reading here in verse 23. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with You, You Jesus of Nazareth? Are You come to destroy us? So another account. Have you come to destroy us? Remember that mankind, this will get you going in the direction that we need to go. We, mankind, is not just flesh. Fire can destroy flesh right away. But what about the spirit? What about the spirit that we have? Go to Zechariah 12. Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Zechariah 12 says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens, which are going to be on fire in the future, and lays the foundation of the earth the same, and He formed the spirit of man within Him. You can find that in other places like Isaiah 26 and verse 9, same thing, my spirit. God also gives us, as it says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He gives us also the power of His Holy Spirit to mix with our spirit that we have. So those in the Church of God today have not necessarily what you would say two spirits, but we have the spirit of man in us, which also is influenced and moved by the spiritual power of God to encourage, inspire, and strengthen us to do those things that are right and proper. So we not only are flesh, we also have a spirit. Can fire destroy spirit? People ask the question, can fire destroy spirit? Yes, a special fire can. And that's what you can get out of reading there in Matthew's account, where he talks about the lake of fire that Satan and his demons are to be cast into. Because that lake of fire, it says back there, even in Matthew's account, that it was made especially for the devil and his angels, or any other spirit. In other words, it was made to destroy spirit. So you have to understand that only God can do that. There's no human, there's no group of minds of people today that can make eternal fire. They can make a lake of fire. Only God can do that. That would destroy everything that He wanted it to destroy. So He formed the spirit of man. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And I want to read this one in conjunction with this. 1 Corinthians 2. Because it gives us instruction of what we're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 4. Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." What I've said today from the Scripture is not with man's wisdom. That comes from God, what God says. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and power." And so your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we're being perfected in the power of God to accomplish what God wants, and we can only see it through the eyes of God, through the power of His Spirit that's alive within us, of what's going to happen at the time of the lake of fire. What's going to happen at the time of the lake of fire? And I won't go there, but you can read Hebrews, the first chapter, through the seventh chapter, and you will see there that the spirits, or the spirit that we have, are higher than the angel spirit. Our spirit is higher than the angel spirit, because you see, it has to do with the Father and Jesus Christ. And we all received that from the Father. We were begotten by the Father, so we receive His Spirit in our mind and Jesus Christ, because they both are there, it says 1 John 4. They function, because Jesus is the one who comes forth to let us know what the Father wants. And that can be in the mind, too. And that's why you should be praying and asking God to help us to see it mentally. And they're making, and according to Genesis 1:26, as you can go back to read, is God made man, or is making man, in their likeness, the Father and Jesus Christ. We're being made like them, to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, it says in Romans. So, the wages of sin is death for all spirits. So, again, I won't read it, but 2 Peter talks about this holocaust that's coming. The horrible events where the heavens are going to be on fire, and this whole earth is going to be on fire too as well. When God finishes everything, He's going to get it ready for the future. Now let's go to the point that I want to make. Matthew, the 10th chapter. This is a warning for us today too as well. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And let's see what Jesus said here. verse 22, it says, "When you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Very important. Takes endurance. "But when they persecute you in this city, flee you to another, for verily I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." Because Israel was first in line, as Jesus said to his apostles, "Go you first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So God is working a work out. "And the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So fear them not, therefore." Don't fear. "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And what I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetop." Now notice verse 28, the key verse. "Fear not them which kill the body," the soma. Remember, we were made with a spirit of man in our minds, and then God's Holy Spirit coming into it to make it like God's in Jesus Christ's. It says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul or the spirit. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both spirit and body in Gehenna fire." So that fire can kill spirit. So we have to understand that that's what God wants us to see and to know today. And that would give us the impetus and the mind to want to be obedient to God and to serve Him and to glorify both the Father and Jesus Christ in all of our actions and what we do on the face of this earth. So now I think you can see why we have the lake of fire.